Érettségi vizsga angol nyelvből. Hallott szövegértése emelt szint.
Welcome to the listening component of the Matura examination. The listening material and the instructions are recorded on this CD, and the tasks and instructions are printed in your test booklet. There will be three tasks, and every recording will be played twice. The task will begin with some music, and then you will hear, and you can also read, the instructions to the task. This will be followed by a silent period on the CD in order to give you some time to look at the task in your test booklet before hearing the text. Then we will play the recording in one piece. After another short silent period, we will play the recording for the second time, but now in shorter sections and with breaks between the sections in order to give you enough time to write down your answers. Please note that the first item in each task, marked with a tick, is always an example. The whole test is exactly 30 minutes long. Good luck. Task 1. In this section, you will hear a news report about an unusual incident in a British school. Your task will be to circle the letter or letters of the correct answer or answers in the boxes on the right. Please note that in this task, both answers may be correct. This means that you will have to circle either A or B or both A and B. First, you will have some time to look at the task, and then we will play the whole recording in one piece. Then, after a short pause, you will hear the recording again, but this time we will play the text in shorter sections to give you enough time to write down your answers. Now look at the task in your booklet. Now listen to the recording.
Skirts! I love those skirts. They're a big attraction to me. Oh! Skirts! I love those skirts. There's not much to them.
Summer has finally descended upon the UK. With the advent of sunshine, women all over Britain are changing sweaty trousers for flowing skirts. Temperatures in some parts of the country reached 32 degrees Celsius this week. 20 boys in Year 9 at Long Hill High School in Rottingdean, East Sussex, wore their PE shorts instead of the usual trousers to school because of the heat last Tuesday. However, the shorts weren't part of school uniform policy, even though it featured the school's logo, and the boys were excluded, put in isolation for the day, or sent home to change. But then, 2 days later, in an effort to protest their school dress code and the weather, the 13 and 14-year-old boys decided to wear skirts to school instead, many of them encouraged by their parents. When contacted for comment, head teacher Kate Williams told us the following. I have high standards regarding uniform, and today, in the warm weather conditions, these high standards have been challenged by approximately 2% of parents and students. According to the BBC, one boy, who had worn the skirt, said that while the head teacher didn't allow shorts to be worn, she had okayed the skirts. This isn't the first time British boys have worn skirts to protest the heat. In 2013, boys at Gowerton Comprehensive in Swansea wore skirts after shorts were banned. At least it's the summer holidays now, and kids everywhere are free to wear whatever they want.
Oh, they're down round your ankles and they're up to your knees. They're up round your hips when along comes a breeze. Oh, skates, I love those skates. They're big guns, I should do.
Now listen to the recording again. Remember that this time we will play the recording in shorter sections.
Skates! I love those skates! They're a big attraction to me! Oh! Skates! I love those skates! There's not much to the music!
Summer has finally descended upon the UK. With the advent of sunshine, women all over Britain are changing sweaty trousers for flowing skirts. Temperatures in some parts of the country reached 32 degrees Celsius this week. 20 boys in Year 9 at Long Hill High School in Rottingdean, East Sussex, wore their PE shorts instead of the usual trousers to school because of the heat last Tuesday. However, the shorts weren't part of school uniform policy, even though it featured the school's logo, and the boys were excluded, put in isolation for the day, or sent home to change. But then, 2 days later, in an effort to protest their school dress code and the weather, the 13 and 14-year-old boys decided to wear skirts to school instead, many of them encouraged by their parents. When contacted for comment, head teacher Kate Williams told us the following. I have high standards regarding uniform, and today, in the warm weather conditions, these high standards have been challenged by approximately 2% of parents and students. According to the BBC, one boy, who had worn the skirt, said that while the head teacher didn't allow shorts to be worn, she had okayed the skirts. This isn't the first time British boys have worn skirts to protest the heat. In 2013, boys at Gowerton Comprehensive in Swansea wore skirts after shorts were banned. At least it's the summer holidays now, and kids everywhere are free to wear whatever they want.
Oh, they're down round your ankles and they're up to your knees. They're up round your hips when along comes a breeze. Oh, skates, I love those skates. They're big guns, I should do.
That is the end of task one. Task two. In this section, you will hear a psychologist talk about some telltale signs that reveal that someone is lying. Your task is to match the pictures A to K on the left to one of the signs, signs 1 to 10 on the right. Put the letters in the grid. First, you will have some time to look at the task, and then we will play the whole recording in one piece. Then, after a short pause, you will hear the recording again. But this time we will play the text in shorter sections to give you enough time to write down your answers. Now look at the task in your booklet. Now listen to the recording.
You can't hide your lying eyes, and your smile is a thin disguise.
Chances are you get lied to multiple times on a daily basis. But the good news is, spotting a fib isn't as difficult as you might think, so long as you know the signs. Behavioural analyst and body language expert Dr. Lillian Glass, who has worked with the FBI on unmasking signals of deception, says when trying to figure out if someone is being dishonest, you'll need to pay careful attention to their facial expressions, body language, and speech patterns, as she writes in her book, The Body Language of Liars. Here are the telltale signs. Sign number one. They change their head position quickly. If you see someone suddenly jerk their head when you ask them a direct question, they may be lying to you about something. Sign number two. Their breathing changes. When someone is nervous and lying to you, they may begin to breathe more heavily. Their shoulders rise and their voice gets shallow. Sign number three. They stand very still. Relaxed, unconscious movements come naturally in normal conversation, so a rigid stance should be a major red flag. Sign number four. They repeat words or phrases. This happens because they're trying to convince you and themselves of something. Repetition is also a way to buy time as they gather their thoughts. Sign number five. They touch or cover their mouth. People unconsciously cover their mouths when they want to avoid answering a question, both literally and figuratively halting conversation. Sign number six. They instinctively cover vulnerable body parts. You're likely to hit a nerve if someone's hand moves to cover parts of their throat, chest, neck, head, or abdomen. Sign number seven. They tend to point a lot. Liars become defensive when they think you discovered their lie, which may result in a lot of pointing. Sign number eight. They provide too much information. An excess of details is often a sign of lying. Liars hope that talking a lot will be perceived as openness and truthfulness. Sign number nine. It becomes difficult for them to speak. Our mouths get dry when we're stressed and lying. Other signs to watch for include sudden lip biting or pursed lips. And finally, sign number 10. They stare at you without blinking much. When people lie, it's common for them to break eye contact, but the liar could go the extra mile to maintain eye contact in an attempt to control and manipulate you.
Now listen to the recording again. Remember that this time we will play the recording in shorter sections.
You can't hide your lying eyes,
Chances are you get lied to multiple times on a daily basis. But the good news is, spotting a fib isn't as difficult as you might think, so long as you know the signs. Behavioural analyst and body language expert Dr. Lillian Glass, who has worked with the FBI on unmasking signals of deception, says when trying to figure out if someone is being dishonest, you'll need to pay careful attention to their facial expressions, body language, and speech patterns, as she writes in her book, The Body Language of Liars. Here are the telltale signs. Sign number one. They change their head position quickly. If you see someone suddenly jerk their head when you ask them a direct question, they may be lying to you about something. Sign number two. Their breathing changes. When someone is nervous and lying to you, they may begin to breathe more heavily. Their shoulders rise and their voice gets shallow. Sign number three. They stand very still. Relaxed, unconscious movements come naturally in normal conversation, so a rigid stance should be a major red flag. Sign number four. They repeat words or phrases. This happens because they're trying to convince you and themselves of something. Repetition is also a way to buy time as they gather their thoughts. Sign number five. They touch or cover their mouth. People unconsciously cover their mouths when they want to avoid answering a question, both literally and figuratively halting conversation. Sign number six. They instinctively cover vulnerable body parts. You're likely to hit a nerve if someone's hand moves to cover parts of their throat, chest, neck, head, or abdomen. Sign number seven. They tend to point a lot. Liars become defensive when they think you discovered their lie, which may result in a lot of pointing. Sign number eight. They provide too much information. An excess of details is often a sign of lying. Liars hope that talking a lot will be perceived as openness and truthfulness. Sign number nine. It becomes difficult for them to speak. Our mouths get dry when we're stressed and lying. Other signs to watch for include sudden lip biting or pursed lips. And finally, sign number 10. They stare at you without blinking much. When people lie, it's common for them to break eye contact, but the liar could go the extra mile to maintain eye contact in an attempt to control and manipulate you.
That is the end of task two. Task three. In this section, you will hear an interview with Harrison Ford, who played the character Han Solo in the Star Wars series. Your task is to decide whether the following statements are true, false, or we do not know because the text does not say, and write the appropriate letter in the boxes on the right. Write A if the statement is true, write B if the statement is false, and write C if the text does not say. First, you will have some time to look at the task, and then we will play the whole recording in one piece. Then, after a short pause, you will hear the recording again. But this time we will play the text in shorter sections to give you enough time to write down your answers. A means true, B means false, and C means the text does not say. Now look at the task in your booklet. Now listen to the recording.
We are sitting with Mr. Harrison Ford. Thank you for taking the time to talk to us about Star Wars. So let me start by asking, when you finished shooting the first movie in 1976, did you ever imagine that almost 40 years later, you would still sit here and talk about Star Wars?
No. In fact, when we did the first film, I was the only one of the three principal characters who refused to sign a sequel deal, because I didn't know how it was going to turn out and I didn't want to get myself trapped in anything. So I had really not anticipated the kind of success that the first film had.
When you read the script for the first time, what did you think? Was it like, okay, it's an
I thought it was a fairy tale. I didn't think of science fiction. I didn't think, anything fantasy. I thought this has iconic kind of characters that a fairy tale has. We've got a beautiful princess. We've got a sage old warrior. We have the evil creature, Darth Vader, the callow youth. And then there was Han Solo, the wisecracking, somewhat independent character who, in my mind, would represent the middle ground for the audience, who could comment on the action, who could have fun, who could be useful as a kind of leavening for the serious nature of the story.
When shooting was done, you know, everything was done, did you have the feeling, wow, we have something special here?
I had the feeling that it would work on some level. I didn't know how it might be finished, because we never saw any special effects. We didn't see any of the detail of what was added later with model shots and moving cameras and, you know, most of the spaceships were made up out of pieces from plastic model kits. And then, of course, we never heard the music. And the music made such a contribution to the film.
Mm-hmm. Do you think there's even more misconceptions about Star Wars that you could reveal?
It's not really science fiction. I mean, there are elements of futuristic hardware and a theory behind the evolution of technology and what's happened in the world. But the film itself, the emotional core of the film, is based on the themes of growing up, taking responsibility, right and wrong, moral themes. That's why I call it a fairy tale.
Did you ever watch all the movies, you know, like in one take?
No. I remember it well enough.
But once in a while?
Well, I've got five kids. At a certain point, you know, they've all been introduced to the films as they became age appropriate or they become interested. So I've seen them with my other kids. And so I've seen them over the years.
If people, you know, talk to you, come up to you, is Han Solo or is Indiana Jones the more named character?
I guess it's just about equal.
Thank you so much for your time and for this interview. Thank you very much.
Now listen to the recording again. Remember that this time we will play the recording in shorter sections.
We are sitting with Mr. Harrison Ford. Thank you for taking the time to talk to us about Star Wars. So let me start by asking, when you finished shooting the first movie in 1976, did you ever imagine that almost 40 years later, you would still sit here and talk about Star Wars?
No. In fact, when we did the first film, I was the only one of the three principal characters who refused to sign a sequel deal, because I didn't know how it was going to turn out and I didn't want to get myself trapped in anything. So I had really not anticipated the kind of success that the first film had.
When you read the script for the first time, what did you think? Was it like, okay, it's an
I thought it was a fairy tale. I didn't think of science fiction. I didn't think, fantasy. I thought this has iconic kind of characters that a fairy tale has. We've got a beautiful princess. We've got a sage old warrior. We have the evil creature, Darth Vader, the callow youth. And then there was Han Solo, the wisecracking, somewhat independent character who, in my mind, would represent the middle ground for the audience, who could comment on the action, who could have fun, who could be useful as a kind of leavening for the serious nature of the story.
When shooting was done, you know, everything was done, did you have the feeling, wow, we have something special here?
I had the feeling that it would work on some level. I didn't know how it might be finished because we never saw any special effects. We didn't see any of the detail of what was added later with model shots and moving cameras and, you know, most of the spaceships were made up out of pieces from plastic model kits. And then, of course, we never heard the music. And the music made such a contribution to the film.
Mm-hmm. Do you think there's even more misconceptions about Star Wars that you could reveal?
It's not really science fiction. I mean, there are elements of futuristic hardware and a theory behind the evolution of technology and what's happened in the world. But the film itself, the emotional core of the film, is based on the themes of growing up, taking responsibility, right and wrong, moral themes. That's why I call it a fairy tale.
Did you ever watch all the movies, you know, like in one take?
No. I remember it well enough.
But once in a while?
Well, I've got five kids. At a certain point, you know, they've all been introduced to the films as they become age appropriate or they become interested. So I've seen them over the years.
If people, you know, talk to you, come up to you, is Han Solo or is Indiana Jones the more named character?
I guess it's just about equal.
Thank you so much for your time and for this interview. Thank you very much.
That is the end of Task 3, and also the end of the listening exam.